We thank you once again for bringing us here tonight and look forward, God, to what you're going to share with us and Lord, what we're going to learn. And Lord, we do lift up just the needs in the church we have and pray that you would fill those needs and that, Lord, you would work in the different ministries and, Lord, just bless those leaders that are kind of struggling right now and be with them. And Lord, I do pray that, God, as we look at Jeremiah and just watch some ministry he does, Lord, I pray that it would speak to those of us who are serving, God, that we'd begin to understand that, Lord, when we get discouraged, when we get upset, when we get frustrated, that, Lord, it just kind of comes with the territory. But, Lord, from Jeremiah, we would learn what to do with that and how to channel that. So bless this time and open up our eyes, open up our hearts, God, and speak to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we're going to look at a few chapters tonight, and you know, this section with Jeremiah is obviously part of it's real dear to me because of the pottery, but then this part here is we can learn from Jeremiah. We're going to kind of watch. I don't know if this was one day, a week, a month, or whatever, but in his ministry, we're going to watch him go from being effective and hearing from the Lord to getting discouraged, to going back to the Lord, to getting extremely discouraged. And you know, when I read this, it kind of gives me hope when there are times in ministry and where you just become frustrated and you just want to scream and you know, you feel like, is this even what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this a call I'm supposed to have? And you know, from Jeremiah we learn, man, you got to go to the Lord with that. And I know some of you are thinking, really, you question those things? Yeah, you do. If you've served the Lord at all, you've been there. And so Jeremiah is in that place where God is going to use him. And it seems like whenever God uses you in a mighty way, then comes that onslaught. Even if it's not from people, it's just the enemy just coming at you, making you question your abilities and what you're doing. So Jeremiah has to fight that. And what I love about, and we're going to try and do three chapters, so you have to listen fast. And what I love about Jeremiah is he powers through that and he fights it. Now he's going to end kind of on a bad note where he's really like bummed out. And it shows us he's human. It's interesting, as I was reading some of the commentaries, they're going, I don't think these three chapters go together, and I think some of this is bits and pieces, and somebody just brought them together and put them that way. And I'm thinking, really? You don't think that Jeremiah got frustrated? You don't think that Jeremiah in one moment could be praising the Lord, and in the next moment be cursing the day he was born? I think so. Why? I've been there. Listen, I think it's very possible. So let's pick it up here. We did verses 1 through 4. We're going to read them to kind of get the context again. And Jeremiah 18, it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So last week we kind of illustrated that and went through that, and you know, it's really hard for me to read that and not get a potter's wheel. You know, it's kind of like I'm reading that thinking, where's the wheel? But listen, the point is, think about this. How many times do you think Jeremiah walked by that potter's place in his life? I would imagine, you know, dozens of times. It's part of the place. And every time he went by, he probably looked in there and went, yeah, there's potter working in there, and just kind of went on by. This time, it changed. This time, God wanted to teach him something and wanted to speak to his heart. And he wanted to give Jeremiah something to give to the nation. And bottom line, he wanted to let Jeremiah know that God is in control. And he wanted Jeremiah to go and tell the nation that God is the one who's in control, and God is going to do what God is going to do. Now, here's what I love. We're going to see how this comes to play. Remember, he says, and what was marred in the hand of the potter, he made it into another vessel. And once again, demonstrating the fact that, listen, God wants to work in our life and wants to complete something in our lives. And sometimes, listen, sometimes we got to get mushed down and mushed up a little bit before we can go on, because it's part of life. So Jeremiah's watching the potter, and I'm sure he's kind of thinking, okay, I kind of got that. And then verse 5, it says, the word of the Lord came to me again. I'm saying again, saying, so listen, he got the word to go down there. Now the Lord is speaking to him. How do I apply this to Israel? How do I apply this to Judah? And verse 6, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So listen, God is declaring the fact that he's sovereign. Once again, demonstrated last week, the clay doesn't tell the potter what to do. The clay has no say. The clay's got to do what the potter is doing, and the potter's going to make what he wants. So listen, now the Lord's going to lay that out. Israel is in the Lord's hand. The world is in the Lord's hand. We're in the Lord's hand. And then he says this in verse 7. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from evil, and I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I would do, or I would benefit it. Listen, here's what the Lord's saying. If it gets marred in the hand of the potter, he can make it again into something else. Listen, God doesn't necessarily respond to us, but God is saying, listen, if you go one direction and you change, in other words, if you're evil and he's done it, and you decide to repent, God's going to save you. But if you think that because God said Israel, and he's speaking mainly to Israel, you're my people and you can live however you want and you can do all these horrible things and I'm not going to punish you, you're wrong. So again, you got to go back to that marred in the hand of the potter, and the potter made it again into another vessel. And God is saying the same thing. This is how it works with the world. This is how it works with nations. And guess what? This is how it works with us. And so God lays that out for them, and Jeremiah lays it out to the people. And bottom line, Israel's in trouble. And then he says this. Listen to verse 11. Now therefore, speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. Do you hear the heart of God? This is, man, I love. Watch the potter, see what he does. Then I'm going to apply that illustration to the nations. And then here's what he's saying, man. Israel, you're in serious trouble. And do you hear the heart of God? Repent. Change. Man, God gives them every opportunity there is, doesn't he? You listen, sometimes it cracks me up where people say, you know, the God of the Old Testament is so mean. Not the God that I read about. He calls out the people. He sends prophets. He sends others to tell them, please change. You know, and you know, I hate to say that God is pleading, but in a sense he is, isn't he? Because that's the heart of God. Restoration. And so he's telling them, listen, change. And then verse 12 is like the bummer of all verses. And they said, so here's what the people said. This, that it is hopeless. Here's what God says. I devised a plan, now change. And here's what they go. Forget it. Why? Because we're evil and we want to stay that way. Is that dumb or what? Right? Listen to what they say. It's hopeless, so we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. That's kind of crazy. Like, Lord, I just want to be bad, bad to the bone, right? I just want to do this. It's just hopeless. It's just hopeless. We're just going to do this. Did you not listen to what happened with the potter? You can change. You can be different. And the people of Israel are going, nope, we're not going to do it. And then the Lord says in verse 13, he says, are you guys crazy or what? That's the rest of this, the next 4 or 5 verses. God's saying, I can't believe he just said that. Listen to what he says. Even the Gentiles, listen, here's what God says. Even the Gentiles aren't this stupid. Sorry to use that word. But even the Gentiles are not this hard-hearted, not this stubborn, not this, you know, hard-headed. They even can see, but you can't. You're my people, so I'm sorry. I didn't write the Bible, so I'll read the Bible. This is therefore the Lord says, ask now among the Gentiles, who has heard of such a thing? That the virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Again, God is saying, you're my nation, you're my people, and you've done such a horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow water of Lebanon, which comes from the rock, of the field? Will the cold flowing waters be forsaken for strange waters? Once again, you just don't do that, right? He's not going to go do that. It doesn't make sense logically. And then God says, because my people have forgotten me, and they have burned incense to the worthless idols, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths to walk, pathways and not on the highway, to make the land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and shake their head or his head. I will scatter them with an east wind before the enemy, and I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Here's what God says. This is going to cost you. Listen carefully. He says, and it's going to cost you everything. Did you pick up on that? And why on earth would you leave a highway and go down some funky little path? Why wouldn't you go the way that God... Listen, and here's what I think God's saying. I've opened up this huge way for you, and you're choosing to go down the most difficult thing. I think it's difficult to go against God. I think that's the same, man. You guys have made up your mind, and it's so hard, and some of us in here tonight are going, that's not that hard. I did it today. But it's difficult. And he says, why are you doing that? And so Jeremiah, listen, went to the potter's house, got the word from the Lord, spoke it to the people. The people then responded. Then Jeremiah spoke to him again. Now check out verse 18. Then they said, come, let us devise plans against Jeremiah. So here's the response. Listen, Jeremiah, again, is a mouthpiece for the Lord, right? So he's speaking to the people, and here's what the people say. Let's get rid of this guy. Listen, man, if we can get rid of him, we don't have to hear him. We don't have to hear all this negativity, right? All these negative things, and we can have a happy life. So listen, they devise plans against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priests. This is what they're saying. Don't we have priests to tell us the law? What do we need Jeremiah for? Nor the counsel from the wise. We got wise people to tell us what to do. Nor the word from the prophet. We got other prophets. We don't need Jeremiah. So come, let us attack him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. I know, here's the people. Let's go against Jeremiah. Now listen, this next section is Jeremiah's had it up to here, right? I am sick of this. Now you got to go back and read chapter 1, because when God called him, God told Jeremiah, you're going to have a really, really hard ministry. Have you ever noticed when he calls those Old Testament guys, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, he says, man, things are going to be good. Like, you're going to get zero response. But don't worry, I'm going to make you tough, man. I'm going to get you through this, right? So now these guys are deciding, I know, let's attack Jeremiah verbally. Let's talk bad about him. Let's trash him. So listen, here's Jeremiah's bummed, right? Verse 19, give heed to me, O Lord, and listen to the voice of those who contend with me. So here's what Jeremiah is saying. This is not good. Now he's mad. He's not bumming. I said he's bummed. He's angry, and he's angry at the people. And I'm not sure this is really a good response. You know, some people say, this isn't what Jesus would say. No, it's not. But it's also Jeremiah saying, these people are going to do evil. They're insistent on doing evil, and they need to get judged. So, verse 20, shall evil be repaid for good? For they have dug a pit for my life. Later on, we're going to find out he ends up in a pit, right? They've dug a pit for my life. Remember that I stood before you to speak good for them and to turn away your wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine. This is not good, right? And pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives become widows and bereaved of their children, and let the men be put to death, their young men be slain by the sword, and let a cry be heard from their houses when you bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have dug a pit to take me and hidden snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, you know all their counsel, which is against me to slay me. Provide no atonement for their iniquity, nor bring out their sin from your sight, but let them be overthrown before you. Deal thus with them in the time of your anger. You know what he's saying, right? God, just get them. He's frustrated. He's tired of it, man. And listen, I understand. This is not the Lord, but you know, is this Jeremiah just blowing off steam at some people who are angry with him? Or is this Jeremiah talking to people who have rejected the Lord and have pushed him away and have come to that place where they want nothing to do with God? You know, sometimes it's not so bad when somebody is that determined. Listen, they sound pretty determined not to have anything to do with God. And God needs to judge sin. Now, listen, we talked about you and I. I don't think you and I should be Jeremiah. Okay? I don't think we should get to the point where we're calling God to, like, burn people. You know, it's not a good place to be. But I kind of see where he's at, and it's not totally, you know, too many commentaries I read, like, made Jeremiah a really, really, really bad guy here. He's not a really, really, really bad guy. He sees the iniquity of the people, and he sees their determination to do iniquity. So he's telling God, I don't think they're going to change. Now listen, then God says, okay, wait. I love this. I kind of do it this way. God's going, wait, Jeremiah, don't be so mad. Let's try this, right? Let's do this. And so, listen, now he tells them to go back to the potter's house, right? Thus says the Lord in chapter 19, verse 1, go and get a potter's earthen flask and take some of the elders. So here's what he said. Go back to the potter's house, and this time don't just watch him. Go get a pot he made. Go get one of his nice pots, one of his best pots, right? And you take this pot, and then he says, listen, I want you to gather the people together. And he says, gather some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests, and go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potsherd gate. Potsherd gate. I'm going to take a pot to the potsherd gate. Uh-oh. You should be able to connect the dots here, right? And proclaim there the words I tell you. So here's what he's saying. Gather some people, go to the valley of Hinnom, which Jesus calls the valley of Gehenna, which is not by the time of Christ, it's not a good place. And in just a minute, it's not going to be a good place. And take this earthen vessel and tell these guys to come with you. Now listen, I'm thinking, that's sort of crazy, right? Hey, you guys want to follow me? I know you hate me and I know you don't like me. I know you're speaking evil of me, but let's go for a little trip. Come on, man, I got this pot. I want to show you what I'm going to do with this nice pot. And so, you know, you got to wonder about all of this. How does all of this actually play out? I think we read this and we think, that wouldn't be a problem. Really? These people have just said they hate your guts. And now you're going to ask them to go for a walk with you? Come on, let's go for a walk and let's go check this out. And then God says, listen, I want you to give you the words, verse 3, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring such a catastrophe on this place that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle. So let's go out now. Here's what I want you to hear. It's going to be, you think it's bad? It's going to be so bad. It's going to be the worst bad you've ever seen ever. Wow. Why did I go out here with you, Jeremiah? Always talking negative. Always saying horrible things. Always talking about catastrophe. You're that guy. Why don't you be happy for a change? Why don't you bring us some good news? Because you guys hate God, that's why. There's not good news for God haters. So listen, man. So he lays that out. Oh, he's not done. Verse 4, because they have forsaken me, this is the Lord speaking, and made this an alien place, because they have burned incense in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, and they have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They have also built high places, the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, So that's kind of a parenthetical thing. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Here's what God's saying, man. You guys have drifted so far away. You've drifted so far away, you're worshiping other gods. Sound like any nation, you know? And you're slaughtering and killing your children, babies. Sound like any nation, you know? You're so far from me. You've so rejected me. You've so rejected anything that's good. You're so blind that you can't even see how far away you are. You can't even understand. You're murdering babies, innocent babies. Wow. I read this and I think, man, if God is kind of angry with Judah and Israel at this point in their history, what do you think he thinks of our country? Where we're at? We have other gods. We got a whole bunch of other gods. We're a nation that slaughters children, innocent babies every day. God says, listen, man, I see that. And some of us, we need to know he sees that. And so then he says in verse 7, and I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. And I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of those who seek their lives. Their corpses I will give as meat to the birds of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and a hissing, everyone who passes by will be astonished at and hiss because of all of its plagues. Hey, he just said that in chapter 18. Now he's saying it again in chapter 17. You think God's really going to do this? And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and everyone shall eat the flesh of his friend in the siege and in the desperation with which the enemies and those who seek their lives shall drive them to despair. Wow. That's gross, right? Now, here's what I'm thinking. Jeremiah, you made him mad when you told him God was like angry with them and going to destroy them. This is heavy, right? I want you to get a pot and I want you to go out. And I can see him holding this pot, talking to him and letting him know this is what God says. Listen, this isn't Jeremiah thinking. This isn't what he came up with. This is what the Lord says. And the Lord says, I'm going to utterly destroy you. And, you know, I'm going to make you do disgusting things that you never thought you would do. And then you got to read about the Babylonian captivity, and then you got to read about, you know, 70 AD, and then you got to read about, you know, the Holocaust, all of those things. Listen, God promised Israel these things would come upon them if they rejected him. He told them point blank for homework. You got to read Deuteronomy 28. Because it's explicit in there. All of this stuff, even what Jeremiah is speaking here, is in Deuteronomy 28. God told him this is what's going to happen. Way before they ever rejected him, he lays it all out. So listen, man, Jeremiah lays that out. And then, verse 10, and then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men with you. So then he finishes it and he picks up, he's got this pot and he just throws it down. Oh, something you need to know. This pot's been fired. He purchased this pot. Remember when we do the presentation, you break a pot before it's fired, you can repair it. You break a pot after it's fired, it's done. It's finished. And that's what God is demonstrating to him. Listen, this broken pot demonstrates it's over for Israel. It's done. And, you know, they can count the days, and we're going to walk through those days with them in Jeremiah. But you break it, it's done. And in verse 11, and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, even so I will break this people and this city as one breaks the potter's vessel, which cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there is no place to bury. Listen, you're going to bury them in that valley. It's going to get bad. Thus I will do to this place, says the Lord, and to its inhabitants, and make this city like Tophet. And the house of Jerusalem and the house of the kings of Judah shall be defiled like this place of Tophet because of all the houses
on whose roofs they have burned incense, and to all the hosts of heaven, and poured out drink offerings to other gods. Then Jeremiah came from Tophet, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people. So listen, now he comes out of that valley and he gets into the courtyard, right? The court of the men. And he's there at the temple and he's telling them, listen, he gets there and he says, behold, I will bring on this city and all her towns and all the doom that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their necks that they might not hear my words. Wow. So it's kind of over. Listen, it's interesting that it gets over for Jerusalem this early on in Jeremiah. Now listen, this is probably sometime around, you know, maybe getting close to 597, not quite 597 yet, but during the reign of Jehoiachin, who's there. We read about him when we were back in Kings. We're going to jump back there a little bit next week. But listen, during that reign, you have that going on. You have a lot going on, and he's speaking to him. Jehoiakim's also the one who took the scroll of Jeremiah and tore it and burned it. And listen, man, they rejected God as hard as they could. And God says, listen, man, the handwriting's on the wall. So from about, I think it's 605 to 597 is when he reigned, and he was in power around those times. And listen, man, it's a countdown. Now it's coming. And listen, it is in 597 is the first deportation. Well, in 605 is the first deportation that Daniel went in. And 597 is another deportation. And then in 586 is when Israel falls. So this is a slow, slow move. And I think it's started and it's on the way. And Jeremiah's saying, man, this is what's going to happen. And we need to realize it. So he lays it all out in front of him. So chapter 19, he made him a little angry. And they were wanting to come after him. Now in chapter 19, he breaks the pot. Now it's kind of over the top. They've had it. He came into the temple area and said it. Now, listen, now they kind of blow apart. Look at verse 1 of chapter 20. Now Pashur, the son of Emir, the priest, who was also the chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah had prophesied these things. Then Pashur struck Jeremiah the prophet, put him in stocks that were at the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. So here's what happened, man. This guy gets word. He's one of the priests. He's probably the priest in charge of the temple area. He gets him, and when it says he struck him, it means he beat him. So Jeremiah went through a beating, and then he put him in stocks. And the thing when you went in stocks was that put you in such a horrible position that you would stay there all night and you'd cramp up and you can't move. And you just go through this excruciating pain and cramps. And he's doing this to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah thought, man, it's bad enough when they say things about you. But now look, man, they're physically attacking him now. They're coming against him physically. You want to turn in your prophet card? Kind of done with this job because, man, it just didn't turn out. You know, like we like to say, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Tell Jeremiah that. Hey, Jeremiah, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Doesn't feel like it right now. Like it's really hurting right now. And the Lord speaks to him. We're going to hear some of what the Lord speaks to him. I think he speaks to him that night. Oh, by the way, also when they put you in stocks, they strip you naked and put you out in a public place. That's always fun. So they're humiliating you, you know, emotionally. They're beating you physically and trying to trash you spiritually. How many people would give up at this point? I'm through. I'm done. Jeremiah tries. Well, first he's got to do some stuff. Verse 3, and then it happened on the next day that Pashur brought Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then Jeremiah said to him, now here's what's crazy. So now he comes and he takes him out of the stock. I don't know if he felt bad. I don't know if something happened. I don't know if God gave him a dream and freaked him out or whatever. But now he comes and he releases him. And as he releases him, now how many of us, if we were released, would just go away? Maybe, you know, just kind of, like, just take off, I'm done, right? I don't want to even talk to you. I don't want to look at you. Not Jerry. And listen, man, listen what he does. Jeremiah says this. He says, listen, he looks at him, and then Jeremiah said to him, the Lord has not called your name Pashur, but Magor Misabib, which means fear on every side or evil on every side. So, and his other name kind of meant good on every side. Now, he says, God just flipped your name around and you're fear on every side or evil on every side. This is the guy that just let you go, but he's also the guy that beat you and put you in his socks in the first place. But you got to know, listen, you got to know this guy can do something to you, right? He's got some power, and you say that. For thus says the Lord, listen, Jeremiah's not done. I got to tell you what the Lord said, right? When did he tell you this? Last night when I was in the stocks. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself. Now this is to this guy specifically, right? You, the one who put me in stocks. You're going to be that. And then listen, and then he says to him, that I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of the enemies, and your eyes shall see it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. Oh, you might underline that. This is the first time we've heard that term. We've heard the kingdom from the north, but this is the first time he's laid it out, the king of Babylon. So we're getting really close. Maybe he's even knocking at the door, right? I'm going to give Judah into the hand of the king of the Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon and slay them with a sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the wealth of this city, all of its produce, all of its precious things, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah, and I will give them into the hand of their enemies, and I will plunder them and seize them and carry them into Babylon. And you, Peshur, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity, and you shall go to Babylon, and there you shall die and be buried, and you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. Wow! Whoa. Now listen, telling a Jew at that time they're not going to get buried in Jerusalem is horrible. Horrible. Worst thought ever. Worst thing that they could ever think of. And listen, man, he just laid all that out. Now I'm thinking, this is a guy that just let you out of the stocks. So Jeremiah dumps all of this. In my opinion, man, Jeremiah looked at him and he let it all out. And now listen, he's not done. Because Jeremiah wants to talk to the Lord. Because Jeremiah's not happy. He's not happy with what's going on. He's not happy with results. He's not happy what's happening in his life. So in verse 7, listen, O Lord, you induced me and I was persuaded. Now, some of your translations might say deceived. I think that's a little bit of a strong word. Here's what Jeremiah is saying. Go back and read chapter 1. You talked me into this ministry is what he's saying, right? You talked me into this. Here's what Jeremiah is saying. I don't want this calling anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. I don't like what's happening. Ministry's not fun. Ministry suddenly got very, very difficult, and people started attacking me. I thought I was going to have a wonderful life. I thought everything was going to be beautiful and easy, and I thought people were going to love me and like everything I said, and it's not going that way. So God, I'm done. I'm out, right? So he says, listen, and God, you induced me, and I was persuaded, and you are stronger than I, and you have prevailed, and I am in derision daily, and everybody mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out, and I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me, and a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I'm not doing this anymore. Are you picking up on that? Then Jeremiah says, I'm not even going to make mention of him, nor am I going to speak any more in his name. I'm done. I quit. And then, but he can't. But his word was in my heart in the middle of verse 9, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Here's what Jeremiah is saying. It was so strong in me, it had to come out. Now listen, sometimes pastors kind of claim this, and I think they're claiming it way out of context because they haven't gone through what Jeremiah went through. And I think sometimes some of the pastors go, it's just burning in me like Jeremiah. No, you need to kind of go through some beatings and some stocks and have people angry with you and hating you and nobody, you know, it's one thing, listen, it's one thing to share with people and a few people get mad. Like occasionally some people will go out and tell me they didn't like what I said. That's okay. But if everybody in here stood up and said, we would just as soon kill you. Like, we don't like you anymore. We want to put you in jail. We don't want to ever hear another word out of your mouth. That would be difficult, right? And so, listen, that's what Jeremiah is facing. And he says, man, I wanted to quit, but it's in me, man. And I can't keep it down. So those words have to come out. Listen, and he goes, listen, and again, in the middle of verse 9, but his word is in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. For I heard many mocking,
Fear on every side. Huh, fear on every side. That's a play on the word of the guy's name, right? The guy we were in Pashur when God named him Magor Misadab. Listen, that's kind of the same thing. And he says, listen, fear on every side is around, kind of the nickname now for stuff. Report, they say, and we will report it. And all my acquaintances watched for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced, and we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. So they're still watching, man. They want to get Jeremiah. Now listen, now he pours all that out. Here's something you need to know. You should always be honest with God. You know, it kind of bums me sometimes when people might get frustrated in ministry, and instead of going to God and telling God, I'm really frustrated and I want to quit, they tell everybody but God. And you're kind of holding it back from God. Let God know. He's the only one that's going to fix anything. He's the only one that's going to change anything. So Jeremiah lays all of that out. Listen, and now listen how his countenance changes for like 2 minutes, but it changes. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me as mighty, as a mighty and awesome one. Here's what he's saying. All of this is going on. I want to quit, but are you getting this? We kind of sing that last song we sing kind of goes along with this, right? I think Jeremiah really needed that song. Should have been here tonight. Could sing that song and kind of got into it because he really, really needed it. Listen. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail, and they will be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind of the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause before you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. He kind of get that whole change, right? As he began to lay and talk to the Lord, this whole thing changed. Now he's up here and he's kind of praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. But then he remembers reality. And reality is, nobody likes him. Nobody wants him around. They're fed up with him. So here's reality. Listen, after all of that, verse 13, you know, praise the Lord to verse 14, cursed be the day which I was born. And the commentators say, there's no way you go from, woohoo, yes, God, to I wished I was never born. And I thought, those commentaries have never lived life, or commentators. They've just been in their ivory towers. Can't most of us relate to that? Hadn't there been times in your life where you're just praising the Lord and loving God and loving everything, and then all of a sudden, the bottom just drops out instantly? Man, that's Jeremiah. Listen, he is so real. You and I need to realize these are real people. They're not some kind of robotic automaton that God puts out there in the, you know, in the 6th century BC and says, go do this. It's a real person having to walk through this stuff, having to do these things, just like you and I are walking through life. And now he's going, man, I wish that, and he's really bumming. He's bumming bad. Cursed be the day which I was born. Let the day not be blessed which my mother bore me. And let the man be cursed who brought news to my father, saying, a child has been born to you, making him very glad. He's bumming, right? And let the man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew and did not relent. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noon. Because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave and her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb to see the labor and sorrow that my days should be consumed with shame? Wow. The bumming prophet, right? A little reality check. And I know we're kind of ending on a real yuck, Pat. Why are you going to stop there? Can we do chapter 21? No. Because I think what we need to understand is life happens to us. And sometimes things get so bad that we're in that place where we're like Jeremiah. I wish I would have never been born. I wish I wasn't alive. Now listen, this is only chapter 20. He's got a lot of chapters left. He's got a lot of life left living.
And what we need to realize is Jeremiah was willing at this time to go to the Lord and let him know, I am done. I am so done, Lord, and I am so hurt, and things have gone so bad, and ministry is so hard. I quit, and I wished I would have never been born. You know, when you come to the Lord like that, you know what happens? He takes that clay and he says, I know it's messed up and I know it's marred, but watch what I can do with this clay. Let me take it and put it back on the wheel and let's get going. Because you're not that pot that was broken. You're still that piece of soft, moist clay, and I can do something with you. So Jeremiah, we're going to go, me and you together. And it'll be like the song we sang when we were finishing up here. It's going to be all right. You and I need to be honest with God. We need to tell him, man, when you're feeling that way, tell him. Jeremiah did. And Jeremiah comes through this pretty unscathed. I mean, he goes through a lot of stuff, but unscathed by the Lord, because the Lord, listen, the Lord just wants to, he just wants us to know where we're at. He knows how frustrated you are. He knows how angry you are. No matter how much you try and hide it, he already knows. You just need to agree with him so he can begin to change your life. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do look at this, and Lord, it's kind of tough to read and difficult to look at. And Lord, I just thank you that